We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, I wanted to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of all that, we'll get you your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That is bwhustle.com/join.
Light Years Podcast. We're recording this Sunday morning, February 21st at 10 a.m. Andy Liu, are you still infuriated at last night's Hornets game ending, or have you come down to earth?
I try to say, like, look, we should be getting used to these losses, Sam. Wake up this morning and I'm immediately angry. Is there anything worse than just waking up in the morning just being angry? I'm like, okay, we got a pod today. We got to think about what happened last night. And I'm right back to thinking about what Draymond did. I'm right back to thinking about what Brad Wanamaker did. Steve, like,
oh, God. This is why you're a Twitter person. You just wake up angry, ready to fire him up. <No. laughs> what I was going to say, yeah, okay, so big picture, Orlando, the Orlando game and then the Hornets game, probably the two most frustrating losses this season. Having them back to back, hard to even come back from. We should note Steph got pulled right before the game, but it sounds like he literally had like a stomach flu or something. It's going to happen in a season. It's weird. Watch him get pulled off. You know, we're just happy that it's not like a COVID or a body injury.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd. Looked like he was like flexing his hammies or his knees or ankle or something. So, I mean, I thought he was done. So I was like, all right, is he out? If he's out for like a couple weeks, then now you're talking about like, is this a playoff team, or are they going to be in the playoff run? But looks like he'll be back. Hopefully, on Tuesday. So that was fine. I did find it surprising that this team stayed in the game for that long, Sam. Actually, they stayed in the game for the entire game, partly because the Hornets play terrible. They actually played a lot worse than the Warriors. Like, they had like 25 turnovers. Or something
It's hard to not imagine if Steph plays, this is a 20-point win, you know? Yep. And I think that's what made this loss more frustrating. This team does not have a chance to win many games without Steph Curry. I think you and I both agree it's probably the worst team in the league if Steph, you know, if Steph missed the whole season. And to throw one away the way they did, it's more frustrating, in my opinion, than the Orlando loss was, because you don't get many opportunities to win games like this. I thought Oubre was excellent. I thought Andrew Wiggins played well. Like, I don't know that you can expect more out of those two players without Steph Curry than what they gave you. They combined for 50% from the field, 44 points, a ton of forced turnovers, even though they, you know, the steals and blocks numbers are, you know, 3-1, nothing amazing. I just felt like they were really engaged in defense, and the Hornets just looked bad most of the night.
Yeah, they were just, oh my God. I don't really understand. Like, I don't really understand how they were just playing basketball. It felt like I was watching kind of the Warriors East, but with worse players somehow. Eric Paschal looked like he owns PJ Washington. So I thought that was kind of the best part of the basketball game. You know, we could spend kind of an hour here talking shit about the game, and we will. But the cool stuff was, you know, Eric Paschal took care of Washington. That was fun. He did that last season for the few people that did watch the Warriors last season. He did that. He was yelling at him. I thought that was great. Brad Wanamaker had a bit of a, you know, outside of him holding the ball for too long for no reason. Like, what the fuck are you doing? But other than that, he made a couple of nice shots. You said Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins. I want to focus there a little bit just because Andrew Wiggins made some big shots. Bad shot selection. But I think at this point, it's like, what do you kind of expect Andrew Wiggins to – like, that's just who he is. He's not going to the hole every possession. He's not crossing guys over and drawing a foul, right? Like, he's going to go – he's going to sit back on his step-back three or his step-back mid-range Kobe light, you know, jump shot, right? Like, that's who he is. That's who he is. Kelly Oubre, anytime he gets, like, a set shot from the corner, that thing's going in, right? Anything else, don't count on it. But, like, he plays hard. I think that's like the overarching point here. And that's when you have to have when you're a team that isn't very good and you're playing that hard.
Exactly. I think Oubre, by the way, has been the biggest beneficiary of the Warriors small ball February. Obviously Wiseman and Looney have been out. They're potentially back on Tuesday, but the Warriors have now played 9 games. Or is it 10? One or the other, with this de facto no center lineup. And Oubre has been by far the biggest beneficiary. I'm going to pull up the numbers for you right now, but he is averaging over 21 points a game in that span and efficiently.
Wow.
And I have a theory on it. I mean, it's not even a theory as much as, yeah, it's 10 games, 49% from the field, 47% from three, 21.2 points, 7 rebounds. The defense and activity is always there. Nope. I just think he's in a position to succeed more. He's playing a lot more power forward. He's kind of being a de facto five on offense some of the time. And, you know, ask him to play shooting guard with a congested paint, probably not his game, but let him take advantage of his athleticism in space. He can do a lot. He can do some things for you.
Yep. Yep. Andrew Wiggins had him come down in transition, made a really nice cross-court pass. Draymond Green finds him every time. It's fun watching. Like, he was the most fun player to watch in the Orlando game. And then he was the best player for the Warriors, I think, last night. And that's insane. The team kind of needs him. I wish you could give Kelly Oubre's kind of heart to Andrew Wiggins. Like, that would be – like, I'm not even talking skill, Sam. Like, forget the skill part. It's hard to ask people to develop skill 5 years into their career. But – man, if Andrew Wiggins had the type of heart that Kelly Oubre had, like, that's a fantastic basketball player. But no, it's good to watch. It's good to watch Oubre play right now. I want to talk about Draymond Green.
Okay, let me pull this back then. So I threw up a poll at the end of the game, and my poll at the end of the game was, who do we blame the loss on? So we should unpack this for people who didn't watch the whole thing. Wanamaker gets a key rebound. They call it a jump ball. Steve Kerr did not call timeout. He says he tried to call timeout, but they didn't give it to him. They then do the jump ball, and it is a second kind of tussle between Gordon Hayward and Draymond Green. And Draymond just throws one of his typical tantrums, and he gets double-teched and ejected. And then Terry Rozier, who basically turned into Steph Curry in the fourth quarter. Obviously, first they hit the two free throws to tie the game, and then he hits the walk-off shot. Just really just a horrendous loss. So I asked people, who do you think holds the loss the most? Kerr for mismanaging the end of the game, Draymond for the techs, the refs for double-teeing him and essentially getting involved in the game, or just kind of like, guys, you need to calm down with the freakouts. And of the 2,500 people who voted on this poll, 55% blame Draymond. The next closest was 22% who said the refs were just out of line. Only about 10% blame Steve Kerr, and another 14% just were like, dude, it just happens. It's the NBA. So with that said, I do feel like the big story here is Draymond Green.
Yeah. Shouts to the 14%. Wow. Just that's the NBA. That's the composure that we need.
It's just very, very calm and collected people out there.
Maybe they were Hornets fans. The end of the game annoyed me. And I you can blame anybody you want. Like, I'm okay with that. That's fine. But just watching the whole game and watching Draymond play basketball the last two games, Sam, that was the worst part. It's just, he had 6 points yesterday. And I don't even know if he had 6 points. He had 6 points against the Magic. He might have had five points last night. He had a three. He had a three, and then he had like a left-hand tip layup. It's like, I don't even know how that went in.
But there's at least three layups that rimmed out that he really should have made.
Horrific on offense right now. Horrific is the only way to put it. And then on top of that, on top of the fact that right now teams are playing 4-on-5 against them, even when Steph is on the floor, and I've always said like that assists are overrated. Absolutely overrated. You are looking to pass the ball every single possession, right? And every time you're getting someone open, it's because Steph is pulling three guys toward him. Congratulations. Aaron Baines could have made that pass. Like, there are certain plays that he's making that are like, okay, yeah, only Draymond can make these. He's dribbling up the floor. He's making a nice pass. Awesome. But most of the time, it's like, dude, like, the only reason you have the ball and you're passing the ball is because what the hell else are you going to be doing? Defense is fine. Like, against the Magic, struggled a little bit last night, was okay. But, like, part of that was the Hornets was so bad. And then at the end, to cap it all off, dude, you're not 23 years old. Is this Draymond's first season in the league, Sam? Like, what was that? Like, is this your first time playing basketball? How do you not understand not to do that?
Steve Kerr said he should have got involved. He kind of took the, you know, he's trying to protect Draymond, but he also said Draymond has to be better than that.
He crossed the line. That's the main thing. You know, we loved his passion and his energy, and, you know, we would not be the team we are without him. But that doesn't give him license to cross that line, and he knows that.
Yes.
And to me, it's just like, dude, you want to be a leader of this team, but you only want to be a leader when it's convenient for you. Like, at this point, he has to know his reputation, and it's just getting tiresome. They threw a game away because he threw a tantrum right there, right? Like, does Wanamaker get double teched for yelling like that? Probably not. But he also doesn't do
no. that. Yeah. No, great point. And I think, like, they threw a title away with him doing that. But that's okay, because they were only there to win the title because of him. Like, him, Steph, Clay, right? Like, those guys. But, like, he was a huge part. I would argue second best player on that team. Over Clay. Now, you're doing that stuff when you're averaging 3 points a game on 28% shooting, Sam. And that's what you're doing. And it's like, all right, he's a great defender, but it's not like he's all world. Like, can we say, like, Rudy Gobert is probably a better regular season defender right now than Draymond? I would say yes. Right? Like, it's not like he's the best defensive player in the league. He's a good defender. The top first team, second team. But it doesn't justify, like, all the bullshit that, like, especially when you can say they lost that definitively. They lost that game because of that. Right? They lost that game. Because if he didn't do that, who knows what would have happened. Worst comes to worst, maybe it goes to overtime. Right? And, like, the thing I would say, maybe the good part of that is, Sam, like, Juan Toscano-Anderson said after the game, like, hey, we're going to rock with Draymond no matter what. Because, like, what else is, like, Andrew Wiggins going to go up to Draymond and be like, hey, cut the shit, right? Like, nobody on this team is going to say that unless it was, like, KD. And we saw what KD did. He was like, all right, I ain't dealing with this shit. I'm done. right? So there's nobody that's going to say no to this. So there's the upside where they're kind of stuck with this, unless Clay comes back and says, I'm done too. But that's the upside. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, and it's just getting tired to me more than anything. It's like, it'd be one thing if this was going on, like you said, and we were getting 2015 or 2016 level Draymond, who, in my opinion, was probably a top 12 to 15 player in the league. Like, he was that good at the peak of his powers. Now, I mean, he's still good. Don't get me wrong. He has an absolute impact on this team overall, but the diminishing returns, the inability to score the ball, it's all starting to, you know, it's just not moving in the right direction for me.
Yep. Yep. A few years ago, we did a few rounds of podcasts on like, hey, what do we think Draymond's going to look like? Kind of jokingly, like, hey, it might all go poorly when his body gives up on him. And partly that was one of the things, but also the way that he plays basketball, the way that he has that fire is, it might not be good when you're not that good anymore. Like that type of play might not work out if you're just not very good. And this is what's kind of happening. And one of the things on that play was, why didn't he just get the ball after the tip, after the jump ball? Why didn't he just grab the ball? Instead, he's over here tipping to another player and it ends up in Gordon Hayward's hands. And part of that is because he didn't want to shoot free throws. Like, he has no confidence in anything he's doing right now offensively. So when he gets a rebound, he's trying to give it away. Other than passing, right? So it's like, he didn't want the ball because he was going to have to shoot free throws. He didn't want to shoot free throws. He don't want to shoot a three, even though like there's nobody 80,000 feet next to him. And I think a lot of the stuff that he's doing is an hindrance to the team. It's, you can't do this stuff and still win unless you have Steph and Clay on the team. Or the other team drops 25 turnovers, right? So I don't know. It's frustrating, Sam. I don't know. Like, it's not, I don't think it's getting any better. Before the season, it's like, hey, hope he shoots 30% from three. At this point, like, the standard
for 25.
I don't even know what the standards are. Shoot the ball, shoot it 8 times a game, shoot it. Like, field goals attempted is what we're doing now, Sam. Like, can he shoot the ball 8 times?
He is averaging the least field goal attempts of his career. 5.5 a game since he's become a starter. Oh, so I'm not counting like year one when he played 12
minutes
off the bench. Last year, for example, he took 7.3. Even with KD, he was taking an average of about 7. Not saying that that's, or 8. Not saying that that's, you know, some amazing number, but he shot it just enough to keep defenses honest. I don't. What do the Warriors do with him here? That, this is the bigger question, I guess, you and I have. Like, someone has to get on him about doing more to be more of an offensive threat, but I don't know that he responds to that kind of coaching. There's a reason Steve Kerr will, let's just say, be more critical of Steph through the media than he will of Draymond, because he knows Steph can handle it. He knows Clay can handle it. He knows if he says that about Draymond, it's probably not going to be well received. And I mean, that's emotional intelligence from a coach. You can't coach everyone the same way, but it's also like, someone's gotta do something about this, because for all the good he does, he's almost throwing it all away by the bad he does, by not shooting the ball, by teching himself up. And, you know, it doesn't look like it's getting better. I was willing to give him the slow start because of COVID and everything, but at this point, it doesn't look like there is this added level that's going to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. He played on an injury, back to back in the road game too, right? Like, beginning of the year, he struggled in road games because we think because of COVID. Maybe partly that's not the case anymore. Maybe it's just him. I think the only way you get better off of it is just, you get more offensive players and just say, Draymond, just play defense as best as you can. You just can't do the two-way stuff as much anymore because you're not getting Giannis, right? You're not getting Joel Embiid. Well, maybe. Who knows? But maybe Giannis, I should say. But who knows? But, like, at this point, it's you throw – people don't like Zach LaVine, Sam, because Zach LaVine doesn't play defense. Bradley Beal, same thing. Those guys are horrific defensive players. They have athleticism. They have
they're not horrific defensive players. I will dispute that one. But they are not great defensive players either, by any stretch.
Yeah, they're not very good. They're not very good. They're not Kelly Oubre. They're not Andrew Wiggins. Not that Kelly Oubre is some savant on defense. Partly because like they don't have to play defense. Their team doesn't require them to play defense, right? Like, why would Bradley Beal try and play defense if he can average 35 points and look cool on Twitter? So, like, most people are like, well, if you just get a player that's kind of empty stats, like, what's the point? And the point is that, dude, you can't have Draymond on the floor with other guys that are mediocre offensively. Then all of a sudden you can't score and you're not that good offensively to begin with, or defensively with those guys. So I think you just, I don't know, man, you just throw as many offensive players out there as possible and hope Draymond can help put together a defense that's passable, right? Like, you just, what they're doing now is what, top five defense, top five, top 10?
Yeah, they're top five.
Offensively, like top 20. So I don't know. Maybe you go the other way. Who knows? It's just, it's ugly though.
Yeah, the balance is, I mean, by going all in on defense, you're seeing the limitations of someone like Draymond offensively, because without Steph on the floor, it's the worst offense in the league. Steph is like dragging them to average on offense.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anyone else could even do that, to be honest with you. It's, you know, for all the critiques of, oh, Bradley Beal doesn't play defense. Well, Draymond doesn't play offense, you know, like, you know, there's this thing among Warrior fans that they want to be elitists about defense because of the switching and what made the Warriors successful. But what made the Warriors successful, in my opinion, was that they played two ways. Like, obviously, Steph wasn't as good on defense as Draymond was, but he played defense. Draymond obviously was nowhere near as good as Clay or Steph on offense, but he played offense. Now he's not playing offense. Now he's a defensive specialist to a degree. And I just want to bring up one last thing. To your Beal and Levine point, they've shown me they can play a level of defense. The question for me is, if you get them in the right team that's competing, how good can their defense be? You know, is it enough to be passable to compete with teams, or are they going to be the D'Angelo Russell? And I don't think they would be D'Angelo Russell level bad, but like, you know how you saw with D'Lo last year, like there's no hope he can be passable on defense. It's just not happening. It's not happening with those guys. Bradley Beal was passable when the Wizards were competing. Levine this season is showing he's willing to play some defense. I'm not sure how good their defense can get, but I'm at this point, I'm willing to see, because this whole put goons around Steph thing, like, we love it, but
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you're not getting offense from Draymond, it's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, if Zach Levine doesn't have to score 38 points for them to win a basketball game, like, he's gonna play harder on defense. And it's not like he's not, like, it's literally, let's see what happened with Andrew Wiggins, right? Terrible defensively with Minnesota.
Look at unengaged. Yeah. Now he's making a case for all NBA defense. I don't think he'll get it, but he has a legitimate case to be one of the best wing defenders in the league.
There you go.
Yep. All right, we're gonna come back after the break with the guest.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. a U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
Now we have special guest. He's been on the show in the past, Coach Jason Maples. First, before we start, Maples, can you tell us about your show, Temple of Hoop, and where our listeners can find it, what days you guys are posting, etc.?
Yeah, Tim, appreciate y'all having me back, first of all. Yeah, Temple of Hoop is the podcast, me and my homie Kings. We post every Monday morning, just a show about, it's Lakers centered, but we talk about other stuff going on in the league. It's just, you know, fun with about 45 minutes. It's on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iTunes. So just anywhere you can get a podcast, pretty much.
Perfect. Yeah, no, I've been enjoying the episodes recently. You had Antonio Daniels last week, right? That was pretty
good. That was fun. That was interesting because, you know, a lot of people on Pelicans Twitter aren't their biggest fan, but but AD was rocking with me, so we had a good little – nice little hour discussion about the league and what the Pelicans are doing. So that was fun, man. I appreciate it. It's growing. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, love for it. Listening, man.
Absolutely. So right before you came on, we were discussing Draymond Green. obviously, the double ejection last night. I feel like you're good for at least one of these a season where he gets himself ejected and costs you a game at this point. But like on the bigger issue, he's shooting 36% from the field. He's just not shooting the ball, period, averaging 5 points a game. And Andy and I were discussing, like, how do the Warriors even build around him going forward? Because with his contract, I don't see them trading him anytime soon, at least not for value. I mean, I'm sure you could dump him on someone, but all you're doing is taking back, like, Enes Kanter and like stuff that's just going to make the team worse, right?
So Enes Kanter might shoot more than 5 times a game, though. You know, I might be cool with Enes Kanter.
Here's the thing with Draymond for me, it's the same question: is it worth it? Because you saw with Dennis Rodman over all those years in the 90s, as long as he was helping you win, you deal with the nonsense, right? But he goes to the Lakers, pulls the same stuff. He's not as good of a player. You got to cut him in after 2 weeks, right? So is it going to be worth it for them going forward? And the way he plays is not being a scoring threat. I think it limits what you can add to the Warriors roster. So it's tough, man. A lot of it's going to depend on what they got around him. I'm glad Oubre finally started playing well, and then Wiggins finally is able to score. So it makes it a little better. And the other part of it that's so tough is he does so much for you defensively. He raises your defensive ceiling that much higher, even the floor. So it's rough, man. You got to hope he just, you know, I said my goal was 8 to 10 points a game. He's got to get 8 to 10 points.
He's going to be 8 to 10 points a week.
we ended the Draymond segment by saying, like, we'd be happy with 8 to 10 shot attempts a game. Yeah, right. Like, there's got to be some level of confidence of, like, I want to shoot the ball.
Yeah. I saw the Orlando, end of the Orlando game. And they just got his guy and the guy chasing Steph around the court. He's at the top of the key by himself. Like that is CYO. We want to make the third grader who can't reach the rim yet shoot the ball. So we're going to chase the guy around the court. That was ridiculous, man. I can't believe. I was like, that is an NBA player being guarded like that. That's nuts.
Yeah. And that's like kind of part of it where, you know, it got exposed against Orlando, who Steve Clifford actually made a bunch of scheme adjustments. He put Kim Birch in the starting lineup and stuff like that. But like game to game, most teams aren't doing that. That's the type of thing that when the Warriors get to the playoffs, every coach is like, all right, we're going to double Steph and dare Draymond to score 20 points. Right.
Right. And just hopefully you hope by then Wiggins is comfortable having to go and get 25 if he needs to. And Oubre is, hopefully his offense is, I think positive aggression finally hit. So hopefully that sticks. And you get Looney back, right? And then Wiseman's back. So that's a vertical lob threat at least. And, you know, the offense can be passable. I think if depending on matchup, they can win a first round series. Like even if like this is a spicy, but if Utah's the one and the Warriors end up in eight, I think that's as good as you can ask for.
Sick mind.
Like, no, seriously, I'm serious because you got Gobert who's going to play drop coverage. Mm-hmm. Like that's their standard. That's an opportunity for Steph to go off, right? Mitchell is not the most efficient as far as stars go. He's good for a 7-for-19 game at some point in the series. So I think if you're the A seed and Utah ends up the one, I think, you know, what was that, 2007?
Yeah. Well, we believe vibes. Only in an empty arena this time.
that would require guys like Andrew Wiggins to have the same type of fire that Matt Barnes has, which I don't know if he has that in him.
Right.
You're not buying the Jazz being a Lakers.
No. I think it's the Jazz are really good, but I just think the way that it's two things. One, for some reason, Anthony Davis, the one time he has fire under his belly is when he sees Gobert. Like over his career, for some reason, when he sees Gobert, it's time to get in the kill mode. I wish he was that guy all the time. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I don't trust the wings to be able to guard LeBron over a course of a series. Like Royce O'Neal's only, he's a good defender, but he's only 6'4". At some point, LeBron's just going to, I'm going to baby you and put you in the block. And the gyms are empty, so there's a higher chance of, but that three-point shooting that Utah's doing, I don't know if that's sustainable over the course of that. It's like, it's ridiculous right now.
Yep.
So yep. I don't know. Those are the three things I think are kind of iffy with Utah.
That's the problem. And I'm glad you point that out because with Utah, it's the thing with the Warriors. It's anytime somebody goes on some type of, like you saw last night with the Hornets, and this is maybe a fundamental organizational problem. They made like three threes to get back in the game in a row.
Right.
They made three in a row. And you're just like, you're watching the Warriors and you're like, well, Steph's not out there. So they're not going to, like, there's the problem with Fitz. I don't know if you're watching the game with Fitz on Maples, and good if you're not. You know, Warriors fans are better off. But like, anytime the Warriors shoot two threes in a row, Fitz is going, oh, you can't do that. You got to get to the hole. It's like, who on this team is getting to the hole? Andrew Wiggins got a handle? He can get to the hole? Like, what are we doing here? If you got to open three, shoot the three.
Yeah,
and that's the problem with the Warriors, right?
It's where the game is now, man. Like yesterday, Portland took 55 threes, like in 98 shots total. It's just where the game is right now, man. So I think Fitz is kind of outdated without what he's looking at.
Shocking.
And yeah, by the way, to the Jazz point, 42 threes a game, and they're hitting about 40% of them. Like I don't know what you do with a team like that. Like that's such a,
you're just gonna lose. You're gonna lose if they if they keep that up, they're gonna win a championship if they shoot like that in the playoffs. They're gonna
win Steph Clay KD numbers. Yeah, that's like when the 2017.
No, you know what was crazy to me? Well, the Warriors had Steph and Clay, right? They are never at the top of the league in 3-point attempts. They were used as a decoy to put pressure on the rim with like cuts and back screens. So that's weird that the Warriors never leaned into, hey, let's just get Steph and Clay 15 threes a night, right?
Yeah.
Well. Steve's got his own.
Yeah, and your Steve Kerr tweets. I think the poll, who are we blaming tonight? Steve and then Kerr. That was pretty hilarious.
Who did you blame last night? Who was the guy? Who did you feel?
Was it Kerr not calling a timeout? Was it Draymond losing his mind, or were the refs just?
I think it compounded. Like first, Wanamaker didn't get the timeout with Wanamaker, but Dre, I put more on Dre. He's a champion. He's been there. He's got to understand that in the Western Conference, every game is going to matter, and I think the Warriors should try to avoid the play-in situation. So I think that could be a big loss coming toward the down the stretch, the second half of the season. Every game is going to matter. So Dre got to eat that one, man. That was just unacceptable. Like when I watched it, I saw the tweet about it. I went and looked at it. I was like, there's no way what they tweeted happened. And I saw it. What the hell? He really did that.
But the man is over 30 years old.
Yeah, that's what I'm like,
what are you doing here?
And the crazy part is Kerr still took it easy on the guy in the
I don't think he has a choice there, because like I don't think Draymond's gonna react well if he, you know, he goes full Bobby Knight on it at a press conference.
Did you see what she said? Kerr hadn't spoken to Draymond since 2016 at OKC. He said he hadn't said a word to him.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Last time someone talked to him was KD, and he's out there enjoying life in Brooklyn now.
Yeah, so that's man. Hopefully, Draymond is weird, man. He's obviously helpful. It's just he's just so limited in his box. There's not much you can add around him. Like, it has to be extremely specific about what you add around him, which is why I kind of get the – I don't agree, but I get the LaMelo thing because – because you have to think about him. He does have to play with Draymond and Steph. And I think Draymond's the bigger issue, actually, than people were saying Steph was, if we're talking about the
– Yeah, the Steph thing, I was just like, okay, that's BS. There's no – like, Steph loves playing with other guys who can initiate the offense because then he can just float around and, like, pop off for 30 points out of nowhere.
Right.
But Draymond has no function if he's playing next to someone else who needs the ball in their hands on a consistent basis.
What's that you say? Traffic cop offense?
Yeah, exactly. just at the top of the key, pointing around like, you go there. That's Draymond these days. Let's get into that. So we haven't seen Wiseman in a couple weeks. He should be back on Tuesday. At least that's what they're aiming for right now. And LaMelo in general, that was not a good game for him last night.
I was looking at you. We should have got a better game coming into this, but yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna get the rematch next Friday. Hopefully Wiseman plays, so it'll be a little more fun. Maybe, you know, LaMelo will be a little more into the game. Where are you at with those two as prospects?
Thank you for asking. It's first of all, it's not binary. People think because I said I like LaMelo that I don't like Wiseman. I think Wiseman is going to be good. I think LaMelo is special. Like a rim running center, you can find those at the draft at any point. So unless Wiseman's going to develop a jump shot and some face-up scoring ability a la Anthony Davis, then I think you could have got a similar player later in the draft, right? 6'7" point guards who come into the league as top 10 passers with top 10 floor vision, those don't come along ever so often. So that's why I said you take LaMelo. And I also thought it was insurance because Clay went through the DeMarcus Cousins thing where it was ACL, then Achilles, or I think Clay had it was reversed with DeMarcus. So you have to have insurance for another guard, right? And just in case Clay's not the same guy, which is a high possibility being on, you know, that's 30 years old. So that was where I was thinking. I think when you draft in the top three, you can't worry about fit. You have to worry about, okay, we have to take the best guy and then we'll work from there. And if LaMelo, if that makes Kerr have to actually coach, right? If it makes Bob Myers, okay, I have to get some players who fit these guys, these potentially special player, then that's on Bob Myers. But to just say, I just read the articles, you posted, read stuff that was put out there, that we just took the fit. I think that is a process problem. I think you alluded, it's a process problem with the Warriors. Even if it ends up Wiseman being the right pick, I don't agree with that process going forward. That's how you end up taking Greg Oden over KD, right? Or Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan. Like, you make those type of decisions when you try to worry about fit that high in a draft.
So I think the most charitable explanation give the Warriors here is, and Steve Kerr alluded to this in his pregame, he said he's shooting the ball a lot better than what we saw.
Okay.
And, you know, that could be just protecting what happened or not, but like, let's give them the most charitable explanation here. They didn't think LaMelo could shoot the ball. Obviously, if LaMelo can't shoot the ball, I understand having like a lot of trepidation. But from what we're seeing right now, he's more than capable of hitting enough shots to be a threat from the outside.
Yeah, I think maybe you may have said this, but the more important thing about him shooting is that he thinks he can shoot.
Right. Ooh, so he shot one from 26 yesterday and made it.
Right. Ooh. And that is the issue where, okay, at some point, that the production is going to match the confidence, right? So I think if he shows that has you a little like, okay, maybe that's something we should have overlooked, or maybe say, hey, he's 19. We can work with him on his shot, right? Because you see, you can keep it in front. His brother could not shoot coming into the NBA, had the shot over here, left side of the face.
Much worse.
Yes. He's at 37% on high volume the last 2 years, just, you know, being coached up, which is part of when you have 19-year-olds and you're in the league, coaching is a big part of it now, right? That's why I said Steve Kerr would have had to coach players and not his system, which seems to be
there you go
the seesaw here with the Warriors and what they're doing.
Let me ask you this. If you were, put yourself in Steph and Draymond's shoes, because I think, you know, Clay doesn't care. You know, they could have drafted, they could have drafted, I'm trying
Clay
to think.
Was literally in the hospital when the draft happened.
Yeah. So. Clay, yes, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Clay is also the easiest plug and play guy in the NBA to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put Clay on any team in the NBA, he fits.
Look at LeBron recruiting. I already hear it. Stop. But like, if you're put yourself in Steph and Draymond's shoes, like, I think these guys wanted James Wiseman. Do you think part of that's got to matter? But if you were Steph and Draymond, is there part of you that thinks like, okay, like maybe LaMelo Ball would be good for me? Because I think, in my opinion, like, as much as, you know, I do want to say Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, all these guys just pick kind of the best talent available, which is LaMelo. Like, I think Steph probably went in there, Draymond probably went in there and said, give me the big guy. He's going to help me play defense, presumably. And he's going to help me finish lobs at the rim, which is something that Kelon Looney and Azealia and all these guys has never been able to do. Like, I think that's part of it. And I think that's the tough part.
If that was part of it, then I completely understand. My thing is, there a history of Steph and Draymond? I think Draymond was one of a later first-round pick, right?
J.K.M. Evans, don't worry about that one.
Yes, that's so there's a little bit of a history. There's a little bit of a history there for as far as Draymond, but I don't recall Steph ever. Did Steph ever show any?
No.
You know, trying to have any pull with personnel moves ever.
We do know that he really liked Wiseman because Wiseman went to his camp.
Okay.
But that's just he just had a familiarity with Wiseman, like he spent time with him as a high school kid. I don't know that LaMelo ever went to his camp. LaMelo's whole development pipeline is just unorthodox. I feel like that's part of the Warriors. Like, they don't know what to do with someone who didn't come through kind of a more traditional path. Like, it's
the worst.
It's hard to
like they wouldn't have drafted Anthony Edwards. Like, that's the same thing. Like, what Sam's talking about,
right? And that's weird to me. Like, and I know this is the issue. I don't know if it, but Kerr said some really nasty things about LeVar the year before. Like, that was like, I'm not gonna say below the belt because LeVar did was kind of out of pocket with how he was talking about Luke Walton. But Kerr's rebuttal was like, yikes, that was to have them have to meet after that would have been kind of weird.
I do think that's why they keep saying it's about fit and we wanted to because they don't want to open that can of worms, whether it's fair or not. Like, it's just it's an uncomfortable thing that no one wants, you know, the organization.
You got guys asking about, does Steph talk to Aisha? Somebody definitely would have asked Kerr, like, hey, when you called LeVar the Kardashian of the NBA circle, what did you mean by that? So he definitely would have got asked that. They're asking Steph, does he talk to Aisha Curry? Like,
that was wild. That's, I mean, Warriors media has some funny you should be around when they've got like the people from China covering the Warriors. Like, that's always fun. Like,
it's the drive-by reporters who are funniest, or like they're for one specific reason trying to get like a viral clip. It's never like the beat guy who's, you know, asking the same question about pick and rolls every game.
that would be Slater. That's why from minute one we said Steve Kerr's not, like, this isn't happening. Like, as much as people kept saying, like, LaMelo he might do this, he might do that. He might be, if he can shoot 35%, he could be, like, the best player, top 10 player in the NBA. And all of us were just like, dude, like, Steve Kerr will say he doesn't have any power, but I guarantee you if Kirk walks in there and says, guys, I think LaMelo's, I think we should draft him, like, Steve Kerr is going to say, I'm quitting. I'm off this team.
That's funny. That's what Sam's told me. Like, in the group chat we have, Sam actually said that he was like,
Sam's sources.
Sam was like, there's no way they're taking, like, this is before the draft, like all the stuff. Yeah, Sam was like, there's no way they're taking LaMelo.
Just zero chance. What I was gonna say is let's talk James Wiseman though, because I feel I've come around on your point that, like, if there was a draft redo, because LaMelo has shown me he can clearly shoot the ball enough, like, it's a no-brainer for me. I'm taking the 6'8 playmaker who has special vision and can shoot the ball over a big man no matter what. Like, I would take him over, quite frankly, a less raw big man. But James Wiseman does look like a really good player, and don't want to get into this situation where, like, I see it with Suns fans. No matter what DeAndre Ayton does, there's just anger that he's not Luka or Trae Young, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't want to get there. So what have you seen from James Wiseman, and what do you think he can be as a player?
I'm thinking like that Chris Bosh face up, right? And then I don't know what happened. He was making threes earlier in the season, and then all of a sudden he couldn't shoot anymore. every now and then, like it would pop off my screen, those coast to coast plays. He would get a charge every now and then.
Right.
So like that's part of the growth. But the ability to do that on the NBA floor at 19, like I'm going to rebound and push the break. And the team is just running, like guys are comfortable watching him do that. Like that is eye opening for me. Like that shows like, okay, the ceiling might be this instead of like lower, right? So it's higher ceiling. So
there's like one to two of those plays of the game where you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that Giannis or something like that?
Yeah, right. It's just, it's like, it makes a freak athlete play where you think, okay, this is what they saw. So like I've said before earlier on this show, it's not binary. Like they're both going to be like this whole draft in general was completely undersold in my opinion. I remember saying up like, this is a good draft. It's just no clear cut sexy name, like this guy's gonna change your franchise.
No Zion.
Yeah. Exactly. There's are tons of good players up and down the draft, as you can see in the NBA. And these guys are doing this with no training camp and literally no practice during the season. So this
That's right.
Completely overproducing than what people thought they were. But I like Wiseman. I think at minimum, he's that Jared Allen mold, right? At the minimum, his floor is the rebound, rim running, lob finishing, right? That's his floor. But his ceiling, if he continues to build like a face up, he can hit threes, he can run the floor. I think he'll be able to, you know, excel in that role and possibly be an all-star caliber player.
I think the Luka versus Ayton is a fun one, just because I don't think LaMelo, like, he's not Luka. I don't know. I don't think he's Luka's. Luka could
They don't play the same. That's kind of the
no, they don't. But I think in terms of like the talent gap, like the generational talent gap, which is like. Like DeAndre Ayton's like run of the mill, I think. Like, okay, that's too much. But like, he's a good basketball player. Like, he's good. But like, I think Wiseman has a lot more to his game than Ayton. And I think Luka ends up being impact wise a lot better than LaMelo. Well, I don't know. Like, I like Luka, but it's just Luka's hard to watch. LaMelo was still fun to watch last night, despite the fact like he didn't play very well. Like, he was still fun. Like, he's someone that like it was kind of like watching a. LeBron averaged like 20 the moment he entered the NBA, but like LeBron had that like size and passing. That's really what it is. Yeah. Like when you're that big and you can pass like that, nobody can do that.
He's the same height as Wiggins and Oubre, and I think that showed on the screen. They're both like taller than Draymond for what it's worth. But I was a little bummed LaMelo didn't play well because I could tell that certain Warrior fans and Warrior media people hadn't watched him because there was this assumption he just pounded the ball like Luka and like ran 100 pick and rolls in a row. Ugh. And, yeah. You know, that's kind of like if you're not watching the game and you just see the highlights, so it's like, yeah, well, yeah, most of his highlights are out of pick and roll because that's a primary action, but he really doesn't dominate the ball at all.
Even if you watch in Australia, his film's not like that in Australia. Like the coach, like I think that overseas helped him because they didn't let him have the ball all the time. He had to play in a system. They had to run offense. And I think that was why his numbers were kind of down there. It was an adjustment to play style. I'm not going to have the ball all the time. I have to move. I have to work off the ball. They made him play a little defense. Like he's even like, if you look at the box score numbers, which I don't love defensive box score numbers,
right.
He's actually a plus defender this year. And that's a bad defensive team in Charlotte right now, right?
He had that key steal down the stretch. I mean, you can see it. The feel is there. He has enough feel to be a more than capable defender.
Yeah, off the ball, he's got a lot. He's got a high ceiling off the ball as far as reading passing lanes, understanding right. where the ball's going. So, and he's 19, just like Wiseman's 19. So it's like anything that's not there now, like I said, how much do you trust your coach? Which is he's kind
of you make a point that he was coached in Australia and he's being coached now Borrego, who it just looks weird. Like what's with the hair and the beard combo? It's very odd. I think he should just let it know what's going on there. But like it tells me that he can be coached though, right? Which tells me like if you're Steve Kerr, then what's the dig here outside of you just don't like
the Borrego is a Spurs guy. He came, he was a pop assistant. So it's like anything, if you think it's like a culture thing with Kerr and stuff, like he comes from the same culture.
I think I appreciate about Borrego, they didn't give it to LaMelo right away. He had to earn it. And LaMelo actually earned it. Like he got to a point where it was like, okay, we can't play Devontae Graham more than this kid anymore. It's getting bad. We can't play Devontae Graham more than this kid anymore. So I think from that point, I think they made LaMelo earn something and they made him try on defense. They made him have to run some offense. So I think playing for Borrego kind of earned him, kind of made Melo a little better. And even though if we wanted him to start a little sooner, having him having to climb up and achieve something made him a better player, or will help him down the road as well.
So I have one last topic I want to hit on, if it's okay. Sorry, Andy.
It's all good.
You want to go, Andy?
I was just gonna. Are you asking about a trade? Because that were I was gonna.
I was just gonna say, Andy. Speaking of that, if you're not sold on 19-year-old kids helping you, then don't keep the pick. I was just gonna say that.
Yeah.
Because
what would you say? Yeah.
So you can't say age. I tweeted. I think Sam retweeted it. You can't keep Wiseman and this Minnesota pick next year. You're doing Steph and Draymond a disservice. More so Steph, because he's still a top two player to me. He's the second best player in the league to me. So you can't have a 20-year-old who's figuring himself out and then bringing another 19-year-old. Even I love Kuminga. I love Kuminga. But you can't have him and Wiseman on the roster and say, Steph, go win number four, buddy, with this. You can't work like that.
Yeah, my question was going to be mostly, okay, so they have James Wiseman. But even if they had taken LaMelo, I think this is a fair question.
Can those guys
develop fast enough for this team to compete for a title with Steph Curry still as the best player in front and center? Like, Steph's turning 33 in 3 weeks. Looks like he's probably going to be, you know, playing at this level for at least a couple more years.
Yeah, I agree. 35, 36, I agree.
Is it even possible? Because, like, everything, I have no doubt that Wiseman and LaMelo will be, you know, all-star caliber players in this league. It's a question about when, right? Like, we're seeing Zach LaVine finally take that step to be an all-star.
Age 26, caliber. Year 7, 26. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, my thing is, Indiana's cheap, right? Get you a Miles Turner. The Bulls owner is cheap. You know, try to give all your assets. And even if you got to throw in Oubre or Wiggins, here, send LaVine over here, right? So it's like you got to try to maximize the window. Even if it kind of sets you back for the future, the guy, Steph, saved your franchise. Look at the 15 years before Steph Curry got there, the 40 years before Steph got there, right? Well, it's a laughingstock franchise, right? Like, it just wasn't, they always had fan support, but it just wasn't a good franchise. So you have to owe it to the guy who turns your franchise around. He's being loyal to you, right? You gotta maximize his window. You have to.
I think that's the greater point, is that as much as you want to debate LaMelo and Wiseman, it's like, man, neither of those guys are helping you win a title next season unless you get a great player. So yeah, maybe 5 years down the road. So you got 38-year-old Steph being like a super roided up Ray Allen for Wiseman and Kuminga and I don't know, Deshaun Nix or some shit, right? Like maybe they can get him. Who knows? But like that's I think where the Warriors want to be. But then it's like, if that's where you want to be, then you want to draft the best freaking players. then you want to say LaMelo and like LaMelo and Kuminga next season would be amazing, or Jalen Suggs and Wiseman. Like, I don't know, but they've got to hit on them.
Right, it's got to hit. And the thing, my thing is, I said this, you can't keep both those assets. You can't. So if you're going to, okay, we're going to keep Wiseman, the Minnesota pick has got to go, right? And if you got to package your pick as well, you got to send both picks, and you got to get a player that, okay, he can help us win right now. It's got to be one or the other. You can't have both two kids, a 19 and 20-year-old, and say, Steph, we're trying to go. You got to bring Clay off. Torn ACL and an Achilles. You got Draymond getting older and less effective, and go ahead and take some deep playoff run. It's just not realistic. The scary part is the Warriors are trying to do both, it looks like, which is always never works almost.
I think they've mentioned it. They want to be like the Spurs, who extended the window with the Kawhi pick. And my counter to that is they feel more like the Celtics,
right?
who could not commit to, you know, they didn't want to trade Tatum or Brown. And we're seeing how good those guys are now.
Right.
But they also could have potentially won a title if they were willing to go all in on, let's just say, Anthony Davis or a player of that caliber to go with Horford and Kyrie and whatever the hell, you know, whatever they had going. Right. Like they couldn't do it. And for me, when I look at the Warriors, I think that's a much more realistic outcome than what the Spurs did, where they're going to keep developing these. They're just going to sit at that 50 win. We're good, but we're not great level, because they won't go all in. But they have like the vet guys who are too good to, you know, be bad either. So
the Spurs are in basketball no man's land. They got a bunch of good players, right? But right. They're never going to be bad enough to get the franchise changer like a Zion or a Luka or let's say a Kuminga or a Suggs. They'll get a whole bunch of 12, 13 level picks, right? Late lottery, late first round. They'll develop them into good players. If they get lucky and hit on a Kawhi again, Kawhi was a 15th pick, right? And they actually traded for him. So,
yep. George Hill.
Do you have faith, in your opinion, do you see a Kuminga or a Suggs or Wiseman? Are any of those guys going to be as good as Kawhi Leonard got to be, in your opinion?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Kawhi Leonard got to where he partly because of where he was and who developed him, right? Not all of it, but partly.
And Sam, do you trust the Warriors' development? Who's the
best exactly?
I mean, thank you. I got to give Juan Toscano-Anderson. I'll give him credit. Like they're doing good things with him. He's seeing the game so much better than what he was when he first got there. He's legit. Okay, you got to give this guy $7-8 million a year if this shit makes sense, right?
And my other thing that the thing the Warriors do exceptionally well is like guys like Wiggins. It's another reason they should be making a trade for someone like a Zach LaVine.
That's what I said. LaVine, you get LaVine with the Warriors. Like I like Wiggins, but LaVine is
more talented.
He's just more dynamic with the ball in his hand, and he's a high volume, high effectiveness 3-point shooter. Which is Wiggins is kind of like it's kind of forced this year. You know, he's getting better at it.
Right,
a natural score from
there's a levels. Difference. There's a difference in their scoring ability.
Right. That's why I wanted you guys to save my boy B.I. from New Orleans. Man.
Yeah. I mean,
you were supposed to put in that word with the front office, man.
But
save
I mean,
that guy, save that man.
That really is kind of who the Warriors are best at. These young, not super young, these players who are in their like mid 20s, who've been in bad situations that don't optimize their talent that we know are better than what they're showing. Like Brandon Ingram's exceptional good player, but like the New Orleans situation's just kind of a weird fit. And you could just see if he went to the Warriors within 3 months, well, he's a superstar. Steph has too much help again. You know, like that's right. That's exactly how it goes.
Here's my question for you guys, because I think this is honestly the low key, the most realistic, like not most, but semi-realistic option that the Warriors can end up attaining. So Minnesota stinks again, right? Hey, we'll give you your pick back. We'll give you whatever this X and many assets outside the core. Send us Carl Anthony Towns. You guys can go back into your full rebuild. You got Edwards. You got D'Lo. You got this, you know, this another high pick.
Kuminga, yeah.
Kuminga, whatever. Right. So how do you feel about Carl Anthony Towns possibly being the end guy? I think that is because Cat's got to be getting tired of, okay, I'm living in Minnesota. It's cold, and we're losing 60 games a year. And this is like 6 years of this. Save the 1 year they had.
And he fits the profile of a guy who's way more talented than his career is gone.
Right.
I will say. MT2 brought him up in an article on the Athletic. I think a year plus back. I will say this. I do it in a second. I mean, are you kidding me? I was like, I mean, outside of AD, most talented. Outside of AD and Embiid, the third most talented big in the NBA. I mean, Draymond might kill him, right? But it's like, whatever. Like, Draymond, like, you're damn near washed on offense. Like, I don't think you get to talk that much. Like, Conte Towns
I don't think
Draymond. He shoots 40% from three.
Yeah, I don't think Draymond's saying a word to a center who can shoot it like that. So, yeah. Makes Draymond 40% a little more playable from three. On offense.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I think Beal's pretty much, he's made it clear he wants to stay with the Wizards. He's with that team for the long haul. Obviously, that can change. Obviously, we saw what AD, I'm going to sign. Then I'm going to ask.
We also know the Warriors. I mean, they would view him as too small. They'd be like, we don't want him and Steph together. That wouldn't be the guy they'd go for.
So LaVine 6'7". We don't know how the Bulls are going to proceed going forward. They're a middling playoff team. He's only 26. He is up due for an extension in the next couple of years. So I don't know how the owner is notoriously cheap going back to the Michael Jordan days. So we don't know, but I feel like Carl Anthony Towns, because you're talking about Minnesota having they're the only team in the Western Conference who's already out of it already. Everybody else is within the play-in game. They're like 10 games back. So,
you guys just got me thinking how funny it would be if Steph won a title with LaVine, Wiggins, and Carl Anthony Towns, considering Minnesota passed on it.
See, that's the poetry of it.
Yeah, that would be true light years right there.
with Minnesota, you can sell yourself on Anthony Edwards, Kate Cunningham, and James Wiseman.
That's what I mean, they should sell themselves. Yeah. That's nice.
Like that is, whew.
It's a small market. You're cheap. You don't want a supermax cat, right?
Cat's probably going to walk in free agency. You're probably, he's going to be on the verge of walking before you figure it out. Anyway,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So I'm like, I think that's the, of all the stars who could be dangled at some point
in the next year or so. Yeah.
I'm wondering if Cat is the real, I'm looking around the league because, the Bucks, I think Giannis is going to, they're going to try a coaching change first before they talk about moving him.
And he signed 5 years.
It's 5 years. Exactly.
It'll be a couple years before we get there.
Exactly. Who else? You got Vucevic in Orlando. He's kind of like homeless man, Karl-Anthony Towns, right? And just around the league, there's nobody else.
Steve will probably like him. White guy.
Oh, Steve, come on, man. Steve would.
No. I'm saying
move his feet at all.
Yeah, that's.
So, there's an irony to Kerr being a small guard whose only role in the NBA was because he could shoot the ball, and like he just loves size and defensive ability more.
Yeah, that's funny, right? That's hilarious how that's working. I was like, you saw your usefulness as a one trick pony. You freaking hit a shot to win a playoff, the NBA Finals, and still it's like Michael Mulder can really shoot, but he just.
Give me
can't do anything.
Yeah, Michael Mulder would just stick to shooting and nothing else. But anyway.
All right, we'll leave it there. Maples, we appreciate you. You want to plug anything before we get out of here?
Nah, man, just, you know, subscribe, follow Temple of Hoop, you know, Google, Spotify, iTunes, follow, subscribe. We just joined the Blue Wire family, so, you know.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully you could get popping, you know? That's just, you know, trying to grow it every week.
I appreciate you, man.
Congrats, man.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.